Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Could be so okay now that I'm
every Thursday afternoon, we explore the stories behind our favourite albums. Where did the inspiration for the songs come from? And today, DJ and pop critic Cian Sullivan is with me in studio today to tell us about the making of Olivia Rodrigo. That, of course, was Driver's License. How are things, Cian?
Good, you're very
welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having
me. Tell me about Olivia Rodrigo. We've been talking about her a lot, actually, because of CMAT over the past 2 weeks here on the show, but I don't know a huge amount about where she came from.
Okay, so she's a Disney creation to begin with. So she's from LA. Her dad's Filipino. Her mum is Irish, has Irish and German heritage. So we have some claim there. I was trying to find how far back the Irish heritage went. Couldn't find. So TBD on that. But yeah, so basically she grew up kind of in the LA scene. Her parents enlisted her in acting and singing lessons when she was very young. She made her first sort of on-screen appearance in an ad for Old Navy when she was 10. People can find that on YouTube if they're so inclined. Her first kind of big role she landed was in the Disney show Bizarre Park, which was way beyond my time as a Disney viewer. But I think it kind of is their first kind of foreshadowing of what she became, because the show was about two teenage girls who uploaded these kind of comedy music skits up onto the internet. And she was always the guitarist in there, which I think goes to show that she was always kind of a rock girl at heart. Then she got the lead in the TV show High School Musical, the series. Catchy title, as always, where she played the... So this is basically like a high school, and they put on High School Musical as the musical in the show.
Yeah, no, I know it.
So she plays the actress Nini, who went on to play Gabriella in the play. I'd say this was kind of the big success for her in terms of within the industry. She'd even written her own song for the soundtrack of that called All I Want. And that's what really helped her and the success of that show get a kind of record deal. She worked with the producer Dan Nigro, who reached out to her after hearing All I Want. And the two of them basically knuckled down during the pandemic in a studio and just wrote and wrote and wrote. And she was only 17 at the time. So that a lot of her early music was written when she was 17.
Yeah. And the album that we're talking about today, or Driver's License.
It's called Sour.
So this is all from... How many albums has she released?
So tomorrow her third one will come out.
Oh God, right, okay. So that's out, that's tomorrow, that's going to be released. She is a huge success though.
She is, absolutely. So like, you know, so Driver's License came out as part of that, and like, you know, I think there was a huge furore around that song when it came out. First of all, people were kind of excited that it was this kind of new sound. Again, it was like the start of 2021. It's the start of a new decade. We're in the middle of the pandemic. It was kind of a weird time. All the kind of cultural tastemakers are looking to see like what's the 2020s going to sound like. So Driver's License, as we heard at the top of the show there, it's very Taylor Swift in its sound. It is a slow build narrative. You hear those tense piano keys, this kind of light percussion, and it slowly builds this narrative around basically a romantic betrayal. Really, really great song, really critically acclaimed. But what really helped build this, for better or for worse, and I'm sure Olivia probably wouldn't want me to bring it up now, but I think it's part of how she became a star, is there was a lot of fan hype around the alleged love triangle at the heart of this song. So it was alleged this song was about her High School Musical, the musical, the series co-star Joshua Bassett, and that the other woman was the singer who's now famous in her own right, Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
So all this kind of speculation, is the song about Sabrina Carpenter? There was earlier versions of the song where she sang it about brunette, but in the song she sings blonde. And is this kind of like online speculation, people looking for clues, really
and
helped drive the song.
Love a good story and a bit of drama, Cian, as
exactly.
well. So that's Driver's License. Tell us about this one.
Worst, but that didn't matter. It took you 2 weeks to go off and
so that was one of the follow-ups to Driver's License, is called Traitor. And I think this was an example, I guess, of how mature her writing and her songwriting was for, you know, a 17, 18 year old when the song came out, but 17 when she wrote it. Again, this is another sort of betrayal song, but it's about emotional betrayal. The man in the song who wronged her, he didn't actually cheat, but he was always talking to this girl as his best friend. And then as soon as they broke up, he was dating her. And it's kind of like those kind of weird scenarios where it's like, well, you've obviously had feelings for her the whole time. So the fact that she was able to kind of tell another woman's story via song, but also have a kind of new spin on it, make it feel very contemporary, make it kind of feel like it's really set and grounded in 2021 when it came out, I guess was another big success for her.
How successful was this album, Sarah?
It was pretty big. Like, you know, even Driver's License was a huge overnight success. She was a relatively unknown name. I think it broke the record. It got like 80 million streams within the first 7 days. It got to number one in over 25 countries. It was a really huge juggernaut, and it really like landed her as one of
the... Well, that was a big moment for her within the music industry, the success of it.
Yeah,
she's
absolutely.
Won Grammys as well.
She won Grammys for it. Yeah, and she, you know... We can get on to maybe some of the naysayers who came afterwards, but like, not only was it really huge commercially, it was really huge critically as well. Critics were incredibly impressed with the level of her songwriting and I guess the nods to her, you know, elder rock people that she was referencing. It was very much kind of like, you know, a girl and her father's record collection kind of coming together in this music, which became a huge success.
Her level of success at this stage in her career and at her age, how rare is that?
I mean, it's pretty rare, and it also doesn't normally end up too well. Like, obviously, we know of child stars of yore, even someone like Britney Spears or whatever you think.
Well, I think of when I think of the Disney sort of exports, you think of her and Justin. Like, that's
absolutely. And then you have like people like maybe Miley Cyrus and stuff who came afterwards. But Miley Cyrus's kind of musical success was a bit of a slow build. You know, this was a proper overnight success from this massive song. I hate to think that I was just your type. So that was Deja Vu.
Yeah.
I think you can definitely hear more of her rock influences in that one.
I was going to say, how would you describe her sound?
That's definitely, I'd say, a soft rock sound. It's I think a lot of people like try to put pop on her because she comes from a High School Musical world. But like, you can hear the rock drums and that, you can hear the crooning guitar. You know, she has referenced her inspiration to be The Cure, Simon and Garfunkel, Alanis Morissette, you hear in spades. The Smashing Pumpkin, when asked what her favorite album was of all time, she said Elephant by the White Stripes. You know, she's very much a rock girly at heart.
Right.
And you can hear that kind of come through.
She's often kind of described as the voice of Gen Z, isn't she?
I think so. Oh, yeah. And that's basically, I think, because... You know, she's bang in that age category, and kind of for what Alanis Morissette was for the 90s, she, I feel like, really captures that teenage angst, the, you know, the palpable emotions in her music, which I feel like really resonated straight away in a way that like other artists who are big with Gen Z, I think maybe someone like Sabrina Carpenter, is having more fun. Like Olivia is definitely getting to the emotion. She's really emotionally intelligent with her lyrics.
Who would you describe, or who would she say her kind of musical influences are?
She would say Jack White from the White Stripes. She would have said Taylor Swift and for a long time. And, you know, there's videos of her going back singing Taylor Swift, being the person who really got her into music.
Mm.
But actually, the song we just played there creates a bit of a tension between her and Taylor Swift, because Taylor Swift sues Olivia Rodrigo for that song. The bridge of that song has kind of like fast lyrics, and then it has a kind of chanting bit in the bridge. And Taylor Swift claims that that's very similar to the bridge on Cruel Summer, which I don't know if you recall now, has fast-paced lyrics and chanting, but the melodies are different, the tone is different. I personally think it's a bit of a skeptical claim from whoever was suing her, but like, this kind of left a bit of a sour taste between the two of them, and then of course there's more allegations from fans that there's a feud. And I do have sympathy for Olivia, because imagine like coming through saying in all these interviews like, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, and Taylor Swift kind of uses it against you to sue her. Not a great look.
No, definitely not. For me, be a better man for your brand
new girl. So that was actually a mashup between Olivia's
song, I really like the song,
Good For You,
Good
which
for
is
you,
great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real pop punk. It's bringing me back to the 2000s. And then it's mashed up with another one of Olivia Rodrigo's influences, which is Paramore and Misery Business. And as soon as the song came out, people were making these homebrewed mashups like the one you just heard there, which then kind of led to Olivia having to give more songwriting credits to Paramore. And this is kind of something that dogged Olivia, unfortunately, in her first album, was this kind of people coming out of the woodwork, you know, questioning her credibility, questioning her originality, questioning her songwriting skills. Oh, you copied Taylor Swift here. Oh, you copied Paramore here. She also got...
God, she's had a lot of drama for someone so
she has.
New and young.
I also
industry,
think a
she?
Lot of those new up-and-coming female artists end up getting some sort of backlash, whether it's Sabrina Carpenter and that album cover, or Olivia and the credibility claim.
Which has been the most successful of her songs so far?
I would say in terms of pure commercial success, it would have been Driver's License. But I personally think Good For You will have a longer tail. Like, I think if I go...
More longevity to it, just...
Yeah, I think so. I just think it really captured a kind of renaissance in pop punk for a whole new audience that I think people are still cashing in on. And her second album, Guts, kind of leaned into that sound a bit more.
We're going to leave listeners with your final song from Olivia Rodrigo this Thursday, One Step Forward. This texter here, Cian, tells me, we're bringing our daughter to her first concert ever and we're going to take her to see Olivia in Holland. Next year. She absolutely loves her. As a musical household dad, I find the music really nice and I think she sings it really well. So as the dad, I'm actually really looking forward to it as well, says this texter.
Well, I think that's a perfect bridge. I think that you can find Olivia Rodrigo's music. Like, even in her new album that's coming out on Friday, she's got sign off from The Cure, who are going to be collaborating on it with her. She said it's going to be inspired by New Order, Depeche Mode, Sushi and the Banshee. So it's very much, I think, like daughter and dad's record collection really coming together.
Lovely. Cian Sullivan, DJ and pop critic, we are leaving you with Olivia Rodrigo's One Step Forward from her album Sour. Thanks a million, Cian, for joining us on Lunchtime Live this Thursday.
Thank you very much.
Hate that I give you power over that kind of stuff, cause it's always one step forward and three steps back. I'm the love of your life until I make you mad. It's always one step.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.